Welcome to Sermons from St. Paul's, a ministry of St. Paul's Anglican Church in Melbourne, Florida. We invite you to listen and to walk with us through the church year so that together we might hear the voice of Christ and follow him into the life of the world to come. These sermons are presented by Father Brian Oldfield, who serves as rector of St. Paul's.
I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You may be seated. The power of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ can never be overstated. And we see the effects of the resurrection throughout all of Eastertide. Just as a rib was taken from Adam's side to create Eve, water and blood flowed from Christ's side, and he created his own bride, the church. In the resurrection, divine power permeates Christ's glorified body, as well as his mystical body, the church. These two images, bride and body, are not mere illustrations, nor are they metaphors, but they are realities that describe our oneness and our union with the Lord Jesus. This union leads to new, supernatural, resurrection life within us by the power of the Spirit. So in light of the resurrection life, we can look back upon the words of Jesus with greater awe, greater devotion, and insight. The resurrection is that singular event around which all world history turns, let alone re-examining the words of Jesus himself. So we look back to John and Christ's parable of the Good Shepherd with great expectation. And Jesus begins with a very plain statement. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. So Jesus identifies himself not only as our shepherd, but the good one. What makes him good? Good is one of those words that we must be careful with, because we, as 21st century Americans, bring certain baggage with certain words. But it's not just us. This has been throughout every culture that interacts with the scriptures. The Greeks used the word good to denote that the ultimate expression of truth, beauty, and purity, goodness himself. Well, Jesus Christ is certainly that. We may see good in the sense of the shepherd who tends to his flock with perfection. Christ never fails in his foresight or tenderness towards us. He never fails with courage or unselfishness. Goodness in this sense is a little more precise, maybe scientific, something that we might be more likely to think. We would call Jesus the one without defect. He's good. Of course, Jesus is this as well. But Jesus straightforwardly defines his goodness for us, which makes our job a lot easier. The Good Shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. The statement is the supreme Christian truth. The entire church, Christ's bride, Christ's body, is dependent upon the death of Jesus. Christ's willingness to endure the death of the cross becomes the means of our supernatural resurrection life in him. He lays down his life voluntarily. He takes it up again with power to give life to all them that would believe and place their faith in him. One of the great commentators on John, Sir Edward Hoskins, has said that this theme of life and life through the voluntary death of Jesus is the entire point of John. Paul tells us in Hebrews that we enter back into the presence of God by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, Christ's death. Christ gives his life for the sheep. It is not taken from him, but he willingly puts it down because he is the Good Shepherd. And he is the Good Shepherd because he willingly gives his life for the sheep. The action of Jesus proves his character. Jesus does not separate the abstraction or the image, the Good Shepherd, from the concrete expression in giving his life for the sheep. The death and resurrection of Jesus are not signals of something more transcendent. The resurrection is not a lesson to learn, like in a fable or a myth. The resurrection does not point beyond itself, but it is the reality in which we enter. There are benefits to the resurrection, of course. There are consequences to it, of course. But these can never be separated from the reality that the incarnate Son of God rose from the dead. We are in Jesus, a person. Life is in Jesus, a person. To possess the benefit, you must be in Jesus. You must love Jesus. The idea of Jesus will never save anyone. Only Jesus himself, who gave his life for the sheep, can. And so if you ever hear me say something along the lines of Christ is risen in your heart without any reference to or denial of him rising bodily from the dead, you ought to go grab your torches and pitchforks and properly run me out of town. Because without his death, there is no resurrection. Without his resurrection, there is no life. And we would still be in our sins, scattered and lost as sheep without a shepherd. Because in the resurrection, Christ gathers his sheep to himself as one flock. This flock extended even beyond the Jews to encompass every nation, that all might know him. But Christ does not just know his sheep corporately as his flock or as his body. He knows and cares for each one of them personally. He knows his sheep. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Christ knows your name. He knows your children's names. He knows your anxieties, your fears, your goals and hopes, your bad habits, even your sins. And he still chose to lay down his life for you and for me. God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And as you know Jesus Christ, you know his Father, and indeed the entirety of the Godhead, the Holy Trinity. Earlier in this very speech, but beyond the confines of the lesson, Jesus says something more. He says, I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. The abundant life is the life in the flock of Christ, in the sheepfold. But this resurrection life is a totally different kind of life than the natural. When we think of abundant or better life, we often think naturally speaking, right? We think in an error of a degree, a change in degree, rather than a change in kind. For example, to know Jesus and to be known by him will lead to wealth or comfort. We all would probably go, that's not quite right. We shouldn't expect that. But maybe some of us with a little more nuance will think, well, perhaps not material wealth or comfort, but general peace in my life. Or, you know, I will gain a good spouse or raise a family or all the number of other natural things which are good. Well, obeying the precepts of God and acting in accordance with reality does make things go better for you, generally speaking, than if you live contrary to them. And natural gifts like marriage and family are indeed wonderful, but this is not what Jesus means. It's not abundant life in the natural way, but abundant in the supernatural, which can only come from Christ himself. This is a different kind of life. It's the life of the sheepfold. A life that is not oriented towards the things of this earth, as good as they are, but a life oriented beyond them, oriented above towards Christ himself, where he sits reigning over all things. In the words of the epistle lesson, Jesus committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, but Christ still suffered in his natural life. He who it, his own self bare our sins in his own body on a tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. Notice that Peter introduces a new word to us, righteousness. The resurrection life is really two things. It's a death to sin, and it's a living unto righteousness. The righteousness of Jesus Christ makes his voluntary death effectual to the forgiveness of our sins. And his resurrection is the vivifying principle of our justification before God. In Jesus, our old sins are no longer accounted against us. Because the old life of sin is dead, crucified with Christ upon his cross. The only life that remains for us and now in us by the power of the Spirit is the resurrection life of Jesus. The life of righteousness towards God. St. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And as we grow in this life of righteousness, the life of the sheepfold, we may find something new. No, we will find something new. Because we are called to live this natural life in a supernatural way. All of the good gifts we receive in this life are meant to be given back to God as an offering. What if our marriages were meant not merely as the way to rear children and to be the natural fortress against sin, but as the means by which husband and wife spur each other to the heavenly realm? What if parenting and raising children, whether young or grown, was meant to be go beyond a natural retirement plan or a hope for the best Hail Mary pass moment that they turn out okay? But a way to pass on the supernatural life to the next generation. What if caring for aging or ill parents became the opportunity to spur them in the resurrection life? What if friends? What if co-workers? How can the natural life be lived supernaturally, resurrectionally? But God calls us even beyond these things. To even offer up our sufferings for the sake of righteousness. The old life of sin cannot comprehend the resurrection life. So Christians, since the very beginning, have suffered wrongly for, in the words of the epistle again, doing well, living out the righteousness of Christ in the world. And St. Peter calls us to follow the example of Jesus, that we should not revile those who have reviled us, nor threaten in the face of sufferings, but commit ourselves to him who judgeth righteously. Even the collect calls us to know that the Father sent the Son not only as a sacrifice for sins, but the ensample of godly life. And especially in the sheepfold, ought we live our natural lives supernaturally. Christ himself is the head of his church. This is his altar, his building, his pulpit, his gospel. And we are all one flock together in this one parish. Would we know one another outside of this place? Would we even care? I'm not sure, but what I do know is that we do know one another. We know one another in Christ. We lay down our lives for one another after the likeness of Jesus. And no matter our condition beforehand, our identity is found in the shepherd and being in his fold under his care and protection. The resurrection is the power of the life of righteousness, and this still goes throughout all the world. The life of the Son of God given to all who would believe on his name, death for the sake of life, and life for the sake of more abundant life. May the Good Shepherd keep us always in his fold. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
We hope you've been blessed by what you've heard. If you'd like to know more about St. Paul's, you can find us online at www.stpaulsmelbourne.org, as well as on Facebook. Please join us again next week as together we walk through the church year. This has been a presentation of Always with Christ Radio in the Anglican Way.